Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. And today, Chris and I are here at Skin and Tonic. We have our co-host, Chloe, who's joining us on the podcast. And we're going to be discussing something that I think is probably more common than what we realize, but basically adult onset acne or skin changes that develop well into 30s and 40s. So I remember I was like a really bad acneic kid and thought as soon as I got into my 20s, it'd go away. And finally now into my 50s, I only have a few here and there. So
yeah, it's interesting as we age, and each decade, it seems like a different set of problems we have to address. And really looking at what we addressed and problems we had in our teens, a lot of that can recur around, 50s to 60s, but it's similar changes, right? So hormonal changes that we're going through at puberty, especially women going through the perimenopause phase, but also guys as they get older have a lot of hormonal changes that can impact what goes on with their skin.
Yeah. Acne certainly is probably the most popular or most prominent, not popular, but the most prominent skin problem. But there are lots of things that bring people into med spas. There's a pretty high percentage of people come in. They may come in for something else, but while they're here, they end up talking about a skin disorder, whether it's redness or which could be from rosacea, acne, psoriasis.
It's an exciting time to be in this industry, in this field. So when we first started, we really focused on lines, wrinkles, and little plumpness or volume here and there. And skin quality was definitely a concern always, but now there's more than ever a focus on the skin quality. And so we have biostimulators, we talk about routine things like chemical peels, microneedling, plexor showers that we do here every month to keep the skin in great condition, because we know that we can build all the structure beneath the skin that we want. But if we don't have a nice, glowing, clear, even colored, or even toned skin, we'll still be perceived as older.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you talk about the things we do monthly, and people are always asking like what you and I do for our skin. I personally like to do something quarterly that's collagen stimulating, whether chemical peels, microneedling. I love a light CO2, the Airlase. We have a ton of things. I know your favorite that you do as far as collagen stimulating is your Sculptra. But the other thing that that people come in for, not only is that, but it's actual problems. So what are some of the things that that you've realized can cause some of the acneic problems as we age?
I really don't think it's just acne. Like, I think that's one issue, and certainly we see a fair amount, but we have other things like rosacea. There's like fine rashes. And interesting enough, I just talked to somebody, and as we get more into like integrative health or functional medicine, I think so much of it may be diet related. Mm. And so we have food sensitivities, food allergies, and I don't think we often listen to our bodies enough. And sometimes these result in things on our face. So whether it's a breakout of acne or some kind of fine rash, or even like redness or flushing and rosacea, there's a lot of people that deal with rosacea. And I don't really think they quite even know that it's rosacea. They'll just say we're red. We have a red tone. We get more red when we, drink alcohol or flush. But actually the underlying rosacea problems can be as problematic, I think, as we age as acne.
Yeah. I think rosacea is probably really underdiagnosed, and people don't tend to diagnose rosacea until it's pretty aggressive and you have the pustules and the extreme redness. But we see people all the time that have like undiagnosed rosacea. We have some things here that we can use to treat that. But the other thing that we see is around menopause, perimenopause, or with skin changes, or either increase in either oiliness or increase in dryness. And so skin usually tends to go in the opposite direction of what people have been used to. And then they don't know how to handle it, and they change products, and then they attribute a breakout to the change in products.
Yeah, or they get overly aggressive. And so it seems like a solution to a lot of these problems for a consumer, for a patient, is just to exfoliate more. And I know that you and I were guilty of that. We would use some of the same Ives, like apricot scrub. We would just scrub more aggressively and more aggressively, which oftentimes can exacerbate the problems, because we can actually damage the barrier instead of like maintain it or improve it. Chloe's going back and forth between us. If you guys on the YouTube channel, you can see our little puppy going back and forth. She wants to help us both co-host today.
I don't know what she's trying to help, but she's got to settle down. You know, like a lot of times I do think that people start doing things thinking that they're going to help and they end up not using a medical grade skincare, and it can actually cause the problem to be worse. And the other problem that tends to be a problem is inconsistency. When you don't see a change immediately is to go ahead and try a different product. And, you know, a lot of times when we do that, like skin purges, and so it can actually accentuate the problem you're having instead of making it better.
Yeah. So I think it's like really when we look at maintaining skin quality, there's multiple things we can do. So as we age, there's breakdown of collagen and elastin. And so we lose that kind of flexibility, bounciness of it through like environmental exposure, not just sun, but like smoke, pollution, all those things. We get free radical damage, which leads to like texture changes, fine lines, wrinkles, pigments, browns, reds, and all that kind of accumulates as we age. So I think looking at that skin health overall and coming up with a proactive plan on how you're going to prevent it and treat it. And so, you know, starting as early as in the, you know, you're really in childhood even, but especially, you know, teens, 20s, we need to be really aggressive with sun protection. And so we always recommend that, but using some sort of daily sunscreen throughout your life is going to be your best preventive measure to stop some of those changes before they occur. Once they occur, we can come up with different things that we do here. So something as mild as very light chemical peels, a monthly, you know, a maintenance plan of some sort. So we can do dermaplaning, microneedling. And then as we start getting, you know, older into 30s, 40s, 50s, we can do some of the injectable biostimulants. So looking at things like our Sculptra, or even doing some of the lasers. And so really if you're, you know, in your 50s, 60s, and have already had significant damage without any kind of preventive care, we may have to be a little bit more aggressive to reverse some of that. But there's things that we can do at each stage to sort of prevent, treat, and maintain those results. And you mentioned a medical grade skincare, and I think that's kind of a cornerstone of all the things that we do here. We have options, and we work basically with companies that have high quality ingredients, products that people don't typically react to, and having something that's a great cleanser, moisturizer, and sunscreen, that's kind of the base or the foundation of everything we do. And then we can get really special with like eye creams and exosomes and all sorts of other things that we use to really help make the results even better. But at the core of any of the things that we do, we really want a good cleanser, moisturizer, and a sunscreen.
I remember when we started years ago, and we were taking a class from Sheila at Skin Institute in Miami. And Sheila, like, it's kind of always stuck with me. And she's like, the most important thing, if you don't do anything else, you have to cleanse, moisturize, and protect. And that's kind of the bones of skincare. A lot of times when, as we age, I think as we're able to afford different products and afford more things, and we start using retinols or we start using exfoliating pads, and you're using, you know, tretinoin two or three times a week, or you're using vitamin C and you disrupt that, the barrier on the skin, you can actually cause more problems than you can like do good.
Yeah. And it is interesting because people will say their skin gets weird. And that's actually the topic of the episode, is how the skin gets weird as we age. And I don't think it's necessarily getting weird. I think it's changes in what's going on in our body. And again, whether it's a hormonal shift or change, whether it's, you know, something that's a cumulative result of different kinds of photo damage, or even, again, our diet. And I really think people don't pay enough attention to that and how it impacts, like, the way they feel, the way they look, the way their skin looks. You know, I'm the worst person to talk about this, because anybody that knows me knows I have a terrible diet. I love my chicken tenders and my strawberry Hershey Kisses and, you know, Nerds crumble gummies, cookies. Crumble cookies. You name it, with sugar, and that's probably one of the worst things for the skin. So I have to do lots of other things to try to correct and prevent that. And so I do think it's something important that we look at holistically and say, how are we taking care of this from the inside out? What are ways that we can protect our gut, have good gut health, because that will be reflected in our skin, and understand that all of those things change as we age. So what worked for us in our 20s may not work in our 30s. That may not be the same product that we need in our 50s or 60s. So that we're paying attention to our bodies and that we're adjusting as we age. And like you said, not switching too fast or being too aggressive. That's the most common thing I see is people wanting to switch really quick. Something's not working and they don't understand that like we haven't given it time or it's a process. They started something new and the skin is going through some rapid changes that we need to give it time to accommodate and adjust to that new product.
And the other thing is to identify the actual cause.
Yeah, diagnosis is key. Now, we had a whole episode on AI, but one of the interesting things is we can see things happening before they're super apparent to the patient through advanced imaging systems. And so we have several different imaging systems here. We use the ClearView, we have Quantificare, but these cameras use special filters that help us look at deeper into the skin. And so we can see underlying pigment. We can see things superficially that usually is available or visible to the naked eye. So if we look in the mirror, we can see it. If we take a picture of the camera, we can see it. But then what's interesting is those deeper layers, that's the pigment and the redness and everything that will eventually work its way to the surface. I think it's one of the things that sets us apart. A lot of practices have different systems, but using advanced imaging in some way to look at what's happening deep within the skin and coming up with treatment plans to address that. So whether it's lasers that address some of the rosacea or brown pigments, or even mild chemical peels. But for us, it's not just an evaluation superficially. We're actually looking at what's the skin health overall and coming up with plans of treatment, things that we'll do over 3 to 6 months to help reverse and correct some of those things. So as you age, we're basically trying to not reverse it, sometimes reverse it, but more let you age naturally, let you look great for your age to minimize that ongoing damage that we see.
One of the other things that I will say that I've seen a fair amount of is side effects of medication. The one I see most commonly is hormones. And so when you have these menopausal age women that are trying to balance hormones, and that can really be a juggling act until it's properly managed. You know, elevated testosterone levels and that sort of thing causing breakouts and other problems they don't like as well, such as like excessive hair growth or hair thinning in certain areas.
A lot of patients, not women or men, but we'll just in general, they love the testosterone. It makes them feel like they did when they were in their 20s. Their sex drive comes back, their energy levels up, their muscle mass is better. But along with that comes some skin changes, some oiliness, maybe some breakouts, and making sure that you're seeing a provider that's knowledgeable about hormonal balance and hormonal optimization can really help mitigate some of those side effects. You don't have to just live with it.
As your own hormone therapy longer, because I know initially you can have breakouts, does it tend to balance itself out?
Yeah, I think some of the swings in hormones are what contributes to it. And there's certainly active forms of hormones that are more associated with some of the negative side effects. And so when we look at some of the conversion of things like DHT, that's the dihydrotestosterone, those levels tend to correlate more with it. And so there are ways that we can block some conversion of that. But unfortunately, that's also some of the beneficial things that people like. And so I think keeping that more balanced and not having as big swings. And so we typically see when people do, like, let's say if they're on injections, if they space it out and do it a couple of times a week instead of one big dose once every 2 or 3 weeks, where they have really big peaks and really big valleys, and we keep it more steady, I think that tends to help mitigate that. Monitoring levels, talking to your provider, I think your symptoms are the key in talking to your provider. It's not just the lab level, but telling them, hey, I'm experiencing problems with breakout. Hey, if it's a female, like my clitoris is getting huge. Is that a problem, right? Because you will get clitoromegaly with large doses of testosterone. So all those things to talk to your provider about it, so they're aware and can explain to you this is normal and expected if we're going to keep this at this level, or no, we need to be concerned or adjust your dose or change your dose or your frequency, because there are ways that we can not just balance hormones, but optimize the ones that you're taking to mitigate some of those side effects. And then considering adjunctive therapy. So if you're having hair growth where you don't want it, but your hormones are pretty balanced and you're happy with that, or it's around the time of menopause and you're getting dark hairs in areas that you don't want them, like your chin, we can do laser hair removal. It's really simple ways that we can address some of those so you don't have to worry with plucking or shaving. So talking to your hormone provider about managing those levels, but also talking to your aesthetic providers about what they can do, what they can offer to help with your skin and the side effects you may be having.
We've got lots of things here to help you if you start having any of the above problems. So We have, like you said, we have an array of lasers, chemical peels, and different treatments that we can do here to help with that. So,
and more than anything, I think it's really just knowing what's available in your local areas. And you know, if you're here in the Pensacola Pace, Milton area, we would love to see you do a consult just so you can and see what we have available here. But there's providers all over the U.S., and we have a lot of providers that listen to this podcast. And I think really understanding how to address a patient like comprehensively in your consult is key. So when you sit down with them, it shouldn't just be like, I have these 11 lines in my face. Can you give me some Botox and fix that? It really is sitting down and doing a full consult to talk comprehensively of the problems that they see. If you have advanced imaging, use that imaging to help you come up with a plan, and then giving them a plan on what you can do to address what you see as a medical provider. I think it's really important that we don't forget that we are medical providers. And in this field, patients are looking for a diagnosis, just like they do if they're going to their oncologist or their primary care. We're diagnosing things that we see on the skin, things that we see with aging changes, and coming up with a treatment plan to treat those issues.
Anything else to close out with?
No, I think that, you know, obviously we're both passionate about skin, biostimulation, and things that we can do to preserve that skin quality. So we could talk another whole episode or two on this whole topic, but I think for today, that's a pretty good ending point.
Chloe says she's out.
Chloe's out. Chloe says the podcast is over. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you soon.